Would you continue glorifying him all across this sanctuary? Lord, we magnify, uplift you, Jesus. Praise the living God who reigns forever, whose kingdom shall not end, whose dominion is from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. Praise God. Praise God. One of the many reasons that we get together such as we have done today is that we might glorify Jesus Christ. And certainly each of us can glorify him individually, but there's something special about blending our faith, isn't there? Joining our worship. You know what it does? I speak from personal experience. It creates an atmosphere where God can do his will and do the things that he knows, even better than we know, needs to be accomplished. Would you join with your brothers and sisters one more time and in your own way individually? But all of us collectively, would you glorify that great name of Jesus? You're creating an atmosphere now. There's an environment for God to do his will, to accomplish his purpose. Oh, we magnify you, Jesus. We magnify you, Jesus. Let this praise pave the way for you to do your work in our hearts, for you to do your work in our lives as only you know to do. You know what's best. You know what's needed. And we trust you, Lord. Thank you for this environment. Thank you for this atmosphere, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise God. What a joy to be in his house. Amen. While you're standing, I just have one verse of scripture for you. Very simple and to the point. Psalms 122, verse 1. The psalmist said, I was glad. And I guess this is one of those verses I need to read with a smile, right? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And growing up in the church and that being a familiar verse that I've heard mentioned a lot, I typically have just sort of focused on that personal pronoun I and the idea of the house of the Lord and just it being a joy and gladness to come to the house of the Lord. But I notice it says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I know that socializing is not the primary reason for having church, but it is enjoyable, isn't it, to get together at church? It really is. It's kind of heartwarming, even though you don't have time to greet everybody in a congregation this size. It's heartwarming to know that those on the quote-unquote other side have the same love for God, the same interest in him, and a desire to see him move. In fact, if you'll humor me, those of you in these two sections, would you look over here, and those of you in these two sections look over there and just kind of wave at each other? Great, now you've greeted everybody and you're off the hook, right? I'm kidding around, but in all seriousness, if you get a chance to greet somebody that you normally don't greet on a Sunday, that would be tremendous to do. But no wonder the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He was thrilled at the prospect of getting together with people of like precious faith. And I would add, even to have guests that have a heart for God as well. And so this prompts the question, and this is my theme to you today, this question, what is so special about the house of the Lord? What is so special about the house of the Lord? And if you would, lift your voice in praise one more time and offer thanks as well for this opportunity to be here. Lord, I appreciate so much your house. Thank you for your people and everyone that's made the choice to gather here today. Thank you for your presence that graces this house and your love and your mercy and the power that's in your name. The spirit and the joy and the peace and the righteousness that comes with that. Thank you so much, and we trust you to accept all the worship that's been given, the faith and the prayer, and to your will to be done. We ask in Jesus' name, and everyone said amen. Amen. You may be seated. The term house of the Lord and church, quote unquote, as we think of a church service, are often used interchangeably, and so as a little foundation, I just want to make this point, and that is that the church really is not brick and mortar. It's not framework and trusses or carpet and pews or lights and sound, but the scripture lets us know clearly that the church is made up of people. Men and women who have been, as the Bible puts it, called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Can I get a witness? He changed our lives. He transformed us. And so really that Greek word ecclesia means called out assembly. And so we are the church. Individuals, believers, men and women who have had their lives changed by the power of Jesus Christ, we are the church. And the work of the church, the work of individual believers really is to share the love of Jesus Christ, to talk about the gospel message, the salvation that's found by faith in Jesus Christ. And if you'll consider that, most of that work is done outside these four walls, right? You interact with your family and fellow employees, neighbors, and just people that you interact with or meet in the course of going about your daily business. And so that's the work. We are the church as believers, as individuals, but the work of the church is to share that love of God and share that gospel news with people that we interact with outside this church building. If you think there's 168 hours in a week, and I guess it best, we spend maybe 6 to 8 hours here. Some of us a little more than that for special meetings and things of that nature. But most of your time is spent outside these four walls. So as the church, that's where our work really is. Amen? That's where we really employ the will of God for our lives. But today I do want to focus on the times that we as believers gather for a church service, wherever that may be. And of course, for us, that's here and now at ABC. The Bible informs us that it is God's will for his people to gather as a congregation. He wants fellow believers to get together. And today, just to throw this in, you are doing God's will by being here. And I don't know about you, but I kind of like it when I know I'm doing something that pleases God. And you clearly are pleasing God by having made the choice to be here today. And in the Old Testament, before the Israelites got into the Promised Land, Moses, that great leader, predicted that God would one day choose a place to meet with all the tribes of Israel. Later on in their history, David became king, and during his reign, Jerusalem was conquered, and the tabernacle was brought there, and later Solomon's temple was built in Jerusalem. And for Israel, Jerusalem was, quote-unquote, the place. That was where God chose to put his name. That's where he chose to formally meet with the people of Israel. The sacrifices were offered there. The first fruits, the tithes, the offerings were all brought there. At least three times a year for feasts, the Jewish people would gather in Jerusalem. I can just see the pilgrimage from all over the known world. They would come to the city of Jerusalem to gather in honor of the Lord. That was the place that represented God. That was the place that he formally met with them. And the concept of God's people assembling themselves is carried over into the New Testament. Now, today we don't go to Jerusalem, and someone said, thank God for that. Imagine that commute, right? I know some of you come a long way to get to APC, but imagine if we had to show up in Jerusalem every Sunday. That would be rough, right? But God still wants us to meet as his people or as a congregation, and there are lots of scriptures to support that. Clearly, I don't have to convince you of that because you've made the choice to be here. But consequently, because it's God's will for us to get together, when we do that, the meeting times of the church, believers, men and women called out of darkness into his marvelous light, those meeting times are special. And I would even go so far as to say, so is the meeting place. God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands, right? He doesn't do that. He's not limited by geography. He's certainly not limited by a building by any means. But when his people gather in one place, in one accord, I submit it is special. There's something significant about that. And as you can imagine, there are multiple reasons why it's special that we get together as we're doing. But I only want to consider a couple of them, why the psalmist might have said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And in my mind, these couple of reasons are very, very important. And the first one is this, the house of the Lord is special because it's a place for everybody. Earlier, we sang the song to the Lord, welcome into this place. And, of course, we even more specifically meant our hearts. But I couldn't help but think, you know, this is his house. And if anybody's doing the welcoming today, it's him. If anybody's saying, you're welcome here, and I'm glad you showed up, and I'm glad you came to this place designated as my house, it's God. Whosoever will may come to the house of the Lord. Doesn't matter your economic status. Doesn't matter your nationality, your race has nothing to do with it, certainly your gender, your age, or even your level of education, none of that has anything to do with the fact that you're welcome in the house of the Lord. This is a place for everybody. And I kind of debated about doing this, but I'll go ahead and slip this in, and maybe I'm not the one to offer it, but if there's anybody here whose experience has been different than that, meaning that you have not been welcomed at some point in the past in a church assembly. If you would, I'm perhaps not the one to do it, but if you would allow me to just apologize for churches anywhere and everywhere that have not welcomed you. We're not perfect as a church. We know that, and mistakes are made individually and collectively, but I urge you, would you just accept an apology and forgive? And really, if you'll think about it, when you choose not to forgive, you are the one that usually ends up getting hurt the worst. Because you hold on to stuff. If you could just let that go and realize that in truth, everybody's welcome in the house of the Lord. No matter what your past experience, the fact is God welcomes every individual, no matter what, into his house and certainly into his presence. And the reason that this is so significant today is because in the Old Testament, God only associated with the Israelites. Those were the only group of people that he allowed to identify with as far as his name was concerned and the certain type of worship that he demanded. And then within the house of Israel or the people of Israel, there were only certain individuals that got to personally experience the presence of God. It was pretty limited. If you read through the Old Testament, you'll find that to be true. And Gentiles, that's everybody who's not a Jew, they were, in the words of the Ephesians, aliens and strangers having no hope and without God in the world. That's how Ephesians describes Gentiles before that. But God changed all of that when he showed up in the person of Jesus Christ. Because it goes on to read, now in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm glad he showed up with forgiveness and cleansing for us. And it says, Jesus is our peace, who has made both Jews and Gentiles one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Today, born again believers are no longer strangers and foreigners. We are no longer that, but now fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Now, church is for everybody. The church of Jesus Christ at large, and every time the church gets together, it is for every single individual. It's important that we recognize that the church of Jesus Christ is not an American church. For that matter, it's not a European or an African church. It's not an Australian or an Asian church. It's the church of Jesus Christ. He is the head of it all, and in him we are all one. Listen to what Paul said. Believers are by one spirit, all baptized into one body. We are the body of Christ and members individually. Oh, I'm glad he broke down that middle wall of separation. I'm glad he made it possible for whosoever will to be a part of his glorious kingdom. And that today, everybody is welcome into the house of God. Wherever the church, wherever believers assemble, it brings joy to recognize we're in his presence. We've gathered in his name, and we are really in his house. And thank God that's true, because think of this. People of all backgrounds have pain and suffering, right? People of every walk of life face trouble, anguish, and confusion. There are problems in all cultures, and there are setbacks and hardships that affect every language group. So thank God that everybody can find help in the house of the Lord. No matter who you are or where you've come from, everybody can find help in the house of the Lord. This is a place for the hurting, right? It's a place for the confused and troubled, a place for those with physical ailments and emotional pain. It's a place for those that are guilt-ridden by sin and all that goes with that. Simply put, this is not a luxury vacation resort. I've heard it referred to as a hospital. Maybe there's other analogies, but you get the idea. It's not a country club. This is a place for those with needs. And we need not be ashamed to acknowledge that, because God is the one who wants to provide every need and to help us in every situation of life. So I'm so glad the doors are open today, aren't you? I'm so glad that everybody is welcome in the house of the Lord. But more importantly, the arms of Jesus are open wide to every person in this place today, no matter who you are or what you need. It was Jesus who said, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It was Jesus that said, whosoever thirsteth, let him come unto me and drink. So his arms are open wide today. His presence is enveloping this place, and everybody has access to him. There's not one person here who can't touch God on this Sunday morning if you want to. On the basis of your faith, everybody's welcome. You can touch him. And that leads to the second reason, at least for this message, that I want to share with you, that the house of the Lord is special. And that's because it's a place for everybody to have an encounter with God. Now, I'll be quick to say it's not the only place to have an encounter with God. I realize that, because people can encounter God anywhere. In the Bible, just to give you a few examples, Moses encountered God in a burning bush. Gideon encountered him on a threshing floor. Saul, who later became known as the Apostle Paul, he encountered God on a Damascus road. Jonah, catch this, encountered God inside a huge fish That would have been some kind of sanctuary, right? Paul and Silas encountered him in prison. David on a Judean hillside felt the presence of God. Elijah on a mountaintop on one occasion, and then on another in a cave encountered the presence of the Lord. So Spirit-filled believers as temples of the Holy Ghost, we can encounter God whenever we get together, right? You can do it on your own, but especially when we get together, church can be held any place on this globe. You know that scripture, don't you? Where two or three are gathered together in my name. This is Jesus speaking. He said, if just two or three will gather together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Well, I'm thankful we can find God anywhere and at any time. And the places where church is held, I know they vary in style and structure. And in fact, if you'll pardon a few personal references, this makes my point. I've been in church services in a few different places. And up in Canada, I remember being in church in a rented Knights of Columbus hall. We felt the power of God. People received His Spirit. I was in Greece many years ago. We had church in a hotel meeting room. Didn't look anything at all like this, just a conference room. In the nation of Israel, we went to what was thought to be the upper room where they gathered in the book of Acts there in the first and second chapters. And we had church there. God's presence touched our lives. I remember being in Papua New Guinea, a little island above Australia, and we had church in an open field. They just built a little wooden structure where the speakers could be up above, and everybody else just sat in the field or stood out there. But I'm telling you, we had church. I've got video to prove it. We had church right out there in that open field. God's not limited whatsoever, is He? In times that in South Africa, we were traveling down the road on a chartered bus, and we had church. God's power moved among us there on that bus as we were heading from one point to the next. I've attended church before they closed it down in the Jefferson City prison over there. And I'll be quick to add, I was a guest, not an inmate, okay? Just don't want anybody to get the wrong idea. I've had church in area nursing homes over the years. This church has had outdoor services in public parks. We got our permit and did everything right, but we felt God's presence out there under the canopy of the trees, and we've set up tents in parking lots and had church out there. I'm telling you, God knows no limitations. He has no boundaries when it comes to encountering the presence of the Lord. But wherever believers get together, that's a special time, and that's a special place, because the common denominator, here it is the presence of the Lord. That's what makes it extraordinary. That's what makes it exceptional. When we get together, it's the presence of the Lord, such as is gracing this place today. That's what makes all the difference. It doesn't have to be a place that's quote-unquote designated as the house of the Lord. He can meet with us anywhere, whether we're on our own or together. But I am so glad, and I think I'm with people that join me, that there are designated places called the house of the Lord. This isn't the only one. There's church services being held all through this St. Louis metro area today. And He's, as an omnipresent God, He's in every one of them. He's moving and ministering in every service. But I'm glad that we have this place, aren't you? I'm glad that we have this time in His presence. We came for a specific reason today, to touch God. Aren't you glad we haven't been disappointed? I don't know what God's already done in your heart and life. I'm convinced already He's moved and ministered. But I'm telling you, we are in the presence of the Lord. We've not been disappointed that we've come to... Oh, I'm glad I came to the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Because God always shows up in His house. And if you'll think about it, it really is logical. If you're going to meet with God, it would be in His house, right? If there's any place where it makes sense or adds up, it's right here. I know that this isn't a shrine of any sort. This building is very ordinary, just ordinary construction. If you'd watched it go up, you'd know that. It's not holy in and of itself, but here's the key. It becomes holy when we as believers get together and magnify the name of the Lord and He openly meets with us. This becomes sacred ground, doesn't it? Holy ground, just an ordinary building, but God makes it extraordinary. His presence is all the difference today, and you can encounter God. My simple little message is, we've come to His house. You need not be disappointed. He's here today, and you can encounter God. If you're here this morning and you've never encountered God, I want you to know you can. You're among believers who've experienced the power of a risen Christ. He's not dead, amen? He is alive. And since His ascension, He's been pouring out His Spirit upon believers ever since. He's still doing it in the year 2017. You can encounter God on this Sunday morning. You can know Him as Savior in your life. Just faith, repentance, water baptism, Spirit baptism, and that sounds like a long list and a long time, but I'm telling you, it can happen just like that. Your faith, your repentance, your water baptism, your Spirit baptism, all that can happen in this service today, and you can go home a changed person. I know from personal experience, and I know from the testimony of others in this house, God can change your life. If you've never encountered Him, if you've wandered into a Pentecostal service today, not really knowing what to expect, I'll tell you what you can expect. It's God. Forget all the protocol. Forget all the other things that go with a service. It's God that you can encounter today. He is alive. He is real. His power is flowing through this house today. And you can encounter Him as a Savior. I believe you can encounter Him as a healer. Anybody have faith that God heals in the year 2017? You can go home healed by the power of God. You can encounter Him as a comforter. There's spiritual renewal. Encouragement that's available to someone today. You can encounter Him as a counselor. Go home with a peace that passes understanding. I know we're in an anxious time and people are filled with all kinds of worries. And maybe despite our best efforts to not worry, we do sometimes. But God can let you leave here with a peace that passes your own understanding. I believe in a supernatural peace that you can't explain. You don't know where it came from or how it got in your heart. You just know you're different because you were in the presence of Almighty God. I'm telling you, you can encounter Him today on that level. You can encounter Him as a provider. And I'm aware that some things God can't present or provide just here and now in these four walls. But I'm telling you, He can be working while you're sitting here. We sometimes use that expression, the check's in the mail. You can be sitting here and God can be working things out so that the answer is on the way. And I don't say that as a word of prophecy. It's just a figure of speech. The check's in the mail, but who knows? Maybe it is. I don't know. Hope it's in my mail. I'm kidding. But you know what I'm saying. God can be working right here and now. And you're just kind of listening to this little message and entertaining His presence. And who knows what He's doing out there on your behalf? Who knows how He's working to bring things together for the good of those who love God and who are the called according to His purpose? You can encounter Him as a provider. Well, I wonder, any witnesses in the house today? That you can encounter God when you come into His house. It's not hard to understand why David was glad when they said unto him, let's go to the house of the Lord. Let's go to church. It's not hard to understand why he was so overjoyed. And today you've come to a place where God is. And you can encounter Him. Church is a place where God is, logically again, very comfortable. At home, because of the atmosphere that we've created by our faith. My comments at the beginning of following that song and before getting into this message were purposeful. We've created an atmosphere today through our faith. We've created an atmosphere through our prayer. We've created an atmosphere through our worship. And if you've just kind of been hum-hung, what's the word I'm looking for? Hum-hoing. No. That's it. If you've just been doing that, I'm telling you, faith is in operation today. Prayer has gone up today. Worship has been offered. You've created an atmosphere where all you have to do is reach out to Him. You can touch His presence today. You can get lost in His presence. You can find what you need in the presence of Jesus Christ because He showed up through the faith and prayer and worship that we have created in that atmosphere. And I have to believe, this is maybe a little simple way of putting it, but I just have to believe God has our service schedule on His refrigerator. He knows we got together today, right? We didn't surprise Him. We didn't sneak up on God. He knew we were getting together at APC here at 11 o'clock for morning worship. I wonder what good things He had in store for us. I wonder what good things He'd like to pour out for those that have a heart full of faith today. Those who will reach to Him and say, God, I need You and I'll accept You. I just wonder what He has in mind. Oh, why don't we worship Him together a little bit more? Just kind of reinforce the atmosphere that's already here. Just kind of underscore it. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm telling you, God's honored our faith today. He's listened to your prayers. He's accepted your worship. And because He's here, you can have an encounter with Him. People can be healed. God can provide. God can save. It can all happen today. If you're hurting, I want you to know you can encounter God's relief in your life. You really can. If you're confused, there's an answer for you from God. If by any means you're troubled, there's a rest for your spirit that you can have on this Sunday morning. If you're looking for meaning in life, and a lot of people seem to be in this day and age, I want you to know you can discover God's purpose for your life today. He can open the door and shine on your heart and let you know it's all here. I'm encouraging you. Would you take that faith that you already have and just raise it another level right now? Come on, in your spirit, would you do that? I'm telling you, just raise that faith to another level and expect and believe and have confidence. God knew you would show up on this Sunday morning, and if you'll just continue offering your worship, if you'll just continue praying unto Him, I'm telling you, He will meet with you today. He truly will. And in drawing this message to a close, I just want to point this out, that during the earthly ministry of Jesus, he always took time for those in need. The mighty God in Christ reached out to the demon-possessed, the diseased. He reached to the rich and the poor. It didn't matter to him. Men, women, children, reached them. People with long-standing needs and those who had needs that just recently surfaced in their life, he reached out to everyone, and he also allowed interruptions to his schedule. There's an account told of us of a woman with, the Bible says, an issue with blood. I guess it'd be similar to modern-day leukemia, some kind of blood disease or disorder. And Jesus was just walking along, people crowding around him, jostling, touching him. And she had this level of faith: if I just touch the hem of the garment of Jesus, I'll be made whole. 12 years she had had the disease, I should add that. Spent all the money she had going to doctors. So she tried her best to take care of things on her own. But she finally just said, I can't do this. And so I've heard of Jesus, and I have just enough faith that if I touch the hem of his garment. And so she pressed her way, elbowed her way, got to him, did exactly that. And when she did, Jesus stopped everything and ask, who touched me? Despite everybody reaching in and touching and jostling and all of that, he felt virtue or power leave him. It was a touch of faith. It was a touch of faith, and she was healed on the basis of that faith. I know Jesus isn't here literally, but I'm preaching somebody can touch Jesus today on the basis of your faith. You can draw power from him for what you need today if you'll just reach out to him in faith, and he'll allow that. You can interrupt this service anytime. I'm just about finished, and I'm going to invite you to pray, but at any point along here, you can touch the hem of the garment of Jesus, spiritually speaking, today. Coming out of Jerusalem, or rather Jericho, his business was finished there. Again, crowd around, a couple of blind men on the roadside got news that it was Jesus. They, of course, couldn't see him, but just heard something going on, found out it was him, and they started screaming to the top of their lungs, Jesus, over here! Jesus, have mercy! And I love the way the passage reads. It says, Jesus stood still. Can't you just see everybody bumping into each other like dominoes? Just stood still, and he called them and said, what do you want? You're yelling, screaming, Lord, that our eyes may be open. And with compassion, Jesus touched them, and immediately their eyes would be open. I'm preaching you can lift your voice in prayer today and get the attention of Jesus Christ. Again, he's not literally here, but believe me, his presence fills this house. And if you'll use your voice of prayer today, God will answer. God will recognize. God will take time for you, because he's not changed. He's not changed. He is here, and he's got time for every individual in this house today. I invite you to stand in the presence of the Lord. And I know it may take a little extra measure of faith because Jesus isn't here literally. But here's the good news. Jesus said, blessed are they who have not seen yet believe. You haven't seen God, but you believe in him. Believe he's real. Believe he has power. Believe he's willing and able to help you. On the basis of that faith alone, you can touch God today. And so I want to invite to the front of this building, member and guest alike, you're all welcome. Remember, whosoever will can come. Everybody is welcome today. And you are wise to come to the house of God. I'll say that, but I'll also add this. It would be so foolish of you to come to the house of God and not avail yourself of his help. Why as you came, don't misunderstand, but how foolish it would be to not take the time to come and touch, as it were, the hem of his garment, or to lift your voice in prayer and get his attention today. Would you be willing to come with needs all across this sanctuary? I'm not going to classify. You know what you want to talk to him about, but I have to believe. In fact, I saw hands go up all over this place earlier. Needs are in this house. Would you be willing to come? Would you be willing to exercise your faith? And I know people are willing to pray with you, but for a while, why don't you just exercise your individual faith? Trust him, believe him, minister unto him, as it were, through your worship, and let God's presence touch you tonight, today. What's so special? What's so special about the house of the Lord? Everybody's welcome. Everybody's welcome. And certainly everybody can have an encounter with him today if you will just reach out by faith. Come on, there's time, there's opportunity. Everybody in this place, everybody in this place ought to spend some time in his presence. Whether it's a need for yourself, whether it's a need for somebody else, that's okay. Spend some time in his presence. As we seek him.